This episode is brought to you by Mind Happy. We all spend way too much time in front of screens. I know I do, and I find myself craving creative yet restful analog activity. I never thought I would long for the downtime of my childhood in the 90s making friendship bracelets at summer camp. This is why we were so excited when we discovered Mind Happy. Mind Happy is a lifestyle and wellness brand centered on thoughtful creativity to help people craft fulfilling moments, connections, and self-care rituals through purposeful play. Mind Happy provides curated monthly deliveries that promote phone-free activities like knitting, coloring, and crafting. They believe that play is one of the most effective ways to relax and re-energize in our daily lives.
Mind Happy's founder is an ex-Amazon executive who leveraged similar activities to alleviate her own burnout. All the phone-free activities from music box building to coloring are selected based on science, restoring mental clarity, energizing connections, reducing anxiety, and facilitating fulfilling moments. It is curated monthly self-care delivered right to your door. We love that the products from each box are primarily sourced from small women-owned business. For 15% off your first month subscription, go to mindhappy.com. That's mindhappy.com and use code COURAGE15 at checkout.
Welcome to Courageous Wellness. My name is Erica Stein.
And I'm Allie French. And this is a podcast about individual journeys within wellness and how to navigate it all.
After Allie experienced a cancer diagnosis in her 20s,
and Erica went through a self-love journey, we created a platform to interview real people from all walks of life that have combined all types of practices. From physical wellness to emotional and spiritual, we hear courageous stories and focus on why it's important to share them.
We are both certified integrative nutrition health coaches, and together with our community, are learning to live our most purposeful lives by sharing one courageous story at a time.
It takes courage to share these journeys, and by talking about them, we aim to destigmatize the process. We want you to be your own health advocate, feel educated and informed on the latest in health and wellness, and empower you to feel your absolute best.
And because we want to bring forth a wide variety of stories, the opinions of our guests do not necessarily reflect our own, but we hope the diverse and varied stories will empower you to make the best choices for your own life. So join us as we and our community share our courageous wellness. Hi, everyone. Welcome back to this week's episode of Courageous Wellness. We have such a great conversation with Angelo Keeley of Keon. And my update this week is just honestly my love for Keon. I was using the product before we recorded this episode and I loved it. I loved the taste. I love how I was feeling. As our listeners know, I don't eat a lot of animal protein. So I know I'm not getting enough essential amino acids in my day-to-day, you know, diet on my plate. And so I was really excited about this product in general. And then we had this conversation, which you guys are going to hear in a moment. And my mind was so blown, even with my understanding, even with my, you know, I'm a integrative nutrition health coach. I understand the building blocks for a healthy body, for hormones, for our metabolic health, for so much. But the way Angelo is able to describe the importance of essential amino acids, the importance of protein, and for all of us, like I'm somebody who most of my workouts lately have truly just been, you know, a quote unquote hot girl walk, for lack of a better word. You know, but I do a lot of walking. And I was like, should I be supplementing if I'm just doing walking or hiking? And so he really breaks down essential amino acids for all types of movement, for all types of goals. I just learned so much, and I was taking it before, and now I'm taking it consistently every single day. So I'm excited for you guys to learn more and to get to the conversation, but I just really wanted to share like my honest personal review of the product too at the top of the episode. So that's my update. And Allie has a much more exciting update. So I'm going to pass it to her to share next.
Well, I'm just going to chime in to say I've also been using Eon, and it is also wonderfully plant-based. It's vegan. So if anybody's interested in that, I know we're just talking about a little bit about animal protein. We go into all of this in the show, so I'm not going to recap right now. But I've been using it daily too since we recorded with him. I started as you using it before, but I've been really consistent now. And I love the berry flavor too. Just shout out to the berry. It's my favorite. So, okay, this is my update. This week I did a wonderful nutrition event in person. We usually do them virtually, so it was so fun to be in person. And it was combining two of my loves, which is, of course, health coaching in the nutrition space, and musical theater, which has been my former life full time. And it was a musical theater class that I sometimes take, which is a wonderful class. It's called Safe Space Musical Theater for anybody in LA who might be interested. You can do drop-in, you can do monthly workshops. But I did a nutrition night for the musical theater singer, and it was really fun, and I got wonderful feedback from the students. Both like enthusiastically, they said it was really helpful, but also they gave me wonderful feedback as far as some of the resources they want as performers. So it was really cool to combine these two like very niche things in an even more niche way. And actually, I just wanted to say, I've been working on an ebook that we're Courageous Wellness is going to put out, available. It'll just come in a PDF format, and it's going to be nutrition for the musical theater singer. So if you're in that world, how to care for your throat health, which is deeply connected to your mouth microbiome and your gut microbiome, how to like have sustainable energy for, you know, tech weeks and openings and 8 shows a week and things like that, that are very specific to that career, which is very unique if you've been in it. But anyway, all of those things, energy management, hydration for all of my singer friends out there, and immune support too, because everybody fears the cold as a singer. So anyway, I just wanted to throw that out there. I had a lot of fun with those guys. Again, if you are a performer in LA, and you want to check it out, find them on Instagram at Safe Space. And actually, I shared with them, so I hope you guys are all listening, about this episode, because I just thought Angelo's explanation of protein, even the way he breaks down macronutrients, it's just so accessible. So with that, should we get to the episode?
Yes, let's do it. Thank you, Allie. So today we welcome Angelo Keeley, co-founder and CEO of Keon, an active lifestyle supplement and functional food company dedicated to helping people fully experience a fun and active life by providing pure energy-enhancing solutions. In this episode, we have a fascinating conversation where we discuss the importance of protein and amino acids for women. Angelo is not only super knowledgeable about the science, but he really makes it easy to understand.
Amino acids are as essential for human life as water, and the human body is primarily composed of water, and of the remaining solid body mass, over 50% is amino acids. Amino acids are essential for every bodily function, and Keon aminos are used to boost energy naturally, build muscle, and support athletic recovery as well. Keon aminos are formulated using the latest scientific research to be the most potent, effective, and bioavailable essential amino acids. We've been using, as Erica had mentioned, Keon for over a month. We love the product and now use it daily. We find it helps with really building muscle and also supporting our hormone health, which of course is connecting to maintaining muscle mass, especially as we age. And if you want to try Keon, you can receive 20% off at getkeon.com/CWPod. That's getkeion.com/CWPod. And all details are also in our show notes. Enjoy the episode.
This episode is brought to you by Sprout Living. One of our favorite new snacks are Sprout Living's probiotic almonds. Wildly delicious and irresistibly crunchy, these are the perfect gut-healthy balanced snack. Each pack of the sprouted and activated organic almonds contain 10 billion CFUs of probiotics,
6 grams of clean plant protein, and a variety of other superfood spices and herbs that do the body good.
They're made without seed oils, which we all know are out, and the flavors. The Italian truffle is delicious, and the dairy-free cheddar cheese made with turmeric and nutritional yeast always hits the spot. Honestly, we may never have another chip again. Sprout Living also makes our favorite plant-based protein blends. My personal favorite is the coffee flavor.
If you want to try Sprout Living, you can save 20% off your entire order by using code COURAGEOUS at checkout. Visit www.sproutliving.com and use code COURAGEOUS to save 20%. Give them a try and let us know if you love them as much as we do. You can also find the direct links in our show notes. Welcome, Angela. We are very excited to have this conversation with you today. So to get us started, we would love to hear a little bit about who you are and your personal background and how it led you into this world of wellness.
Well, thanks, Erica. And thanks, Allie, for having me on. I'm excited to be here. I feel like lots of people have different stories about how they get into wellness, but many of them are both like, I guess, ups and downs and like enlightening moments and challenging moments. I'd say mine is similar in that way. It started off pretty awesome, really. I think I was really lucky. I got to be born into and raised in a family that was super into health. So my parents were actually in the botanical importing business, like importing ginseng and different types of herbs in the 70s. And then in the 80s had a natural health food store and a natural health food restaurant. And like I was raised like pretty, what I call crunchy or like hippie. I was born at home. I never had a birth certificate till I was 7 when I had to go to school finally. Never went to a doctor until that age. So I was raised very much on like whole food nutrition, some very specific vitamins and supplements, tried to avoid like drugs of any kind. I don't think I ever had like an over-the-counter ibuprofen or anything until I don't even know how old I was. So I feel like that's kind of a cool, unique opportunity to be raised in. And part of that lifestyle too was that my parents had chosen to be pescatarians. So I just turned 40. So this is in the 80s and 80s, early 90s. It was pretty unique then. And my parents were also though very knowledgeable about protein nutrition. So if you choose to kind of restrict or limit the sources of protein in your diet, then it does, I think, lead to, if you want to be smart about your health, thinking more about where am I getting my protein from? Do I need to combine certain plant proteins to get a complete essential amino acid profile, et cetera? So like I was a 6-year-old that knew that kind of stuff, which is, again, I think pretty unique and really cool. And all that said, I think like many people, you get maybe raised in an environment, raised in a certain belief system. And as you get older, you have to learn your own lessons and see what you believe and see what you think. And I was also raised in a family that was very entrepreneurial and very, just like alternative. And like you kind of had to figure everything out on your own. And like just, my parents called me Angie, like, Angie, you need to like do this in school and then go to this college and do it that way. It was kind of like always very encouraged to like figure it out my own way. And I was typically a rule follower, but when I got into high school, I was very motivated by social engagement, by people, by, you know, being part of groups and probably by being popular and trying to like socialize and just really enjoy community in that way. And community at that age is not always like the sharpest. Like I think like many adolescents make a lot of dumb decisions together. And so, you know, I got into drugs and got into just like illicit behaviors that were not that great. And unfortunately, I took way too much LSD when I was 16 and I provoked I basically had a psychotic break. I think, you know, today, cool thing would be to say like I had an ego death or I don't know, whatever kind of contemporary way of talking about it is. But like I lost my mind and was very scared and was not in the right neighborhood and accidentally basically provoked a fight with people that were much more hardcore than me. And I've never been in a fight before. And they beat me up really badly. They stabbed me multiple times. And I woke up, you know, many days later in the hospital with, you know, basically I'd have full abdominal surgery. I have a huge scar down my abdomen and my patella tendon was entirely severed, had to be reattached. And I was just, I mean, beaten so badly, like almost not recognizable. And that was obviously very physically painful, very emotionally painful, and was really, I was 16 and a half when that happened. It was the first day of summer after my sophomore year of high school. And it was the kickstart of, your question was like, how'd you get into health? Well, I was born into this health thing, but like that was when I really realized like, wow, my life is really fragile. My physical health is fragile. My emotional health is fragile. Every decision I make is going to impact the future of like of tomorrow, of the next week, of the rest of my life. And even if I don't make decisions or I kind of take things not that seriously, it's going to have an impact. And so I just started like really taking my life very seriously. I think much more so than most 16-year-olds. And that led me to a lot of the stuff my parents had taught me about, you know, like eating whole foods and really thinking about protein. And that's honestly when I really started to get into like protein powders, like whey protein, because it was something that would help me with recovery. And again, well, I guess I didn't mention this, but even as a kid, my parents had actually given me amino acids. It's like the, it's one of the first supplements I remember my mom giving me. And so amino acids were part of this recovery period too, but other things like acupuncture and going to the chiropractor and getting talk therapy and meditation and yoga and cold therapy. And I was lucky to be in a place like Austin, Texas, which had a lot of those resources. And so it really just, you know, that young age, like kickstarted this journey for me that I've been on now for the last 24 years of, yeah, just like really trying to seek the most meaningful life that I can and resource myself any way that I can to live better physically and mentally and emotionally. And, you know, my journey went a lot of the places after that. I lived overseas for several years and worked in France and India and ended up coming back to the States and, built and ran a behavioral healthcare company for a few years. And then in 2017, I launched my company, Keon, now, and which is a supplement company. And it really was about, I think, you know, I can make up stories about, I think, that I had some really clear logic around it. But in many ways in life, I think I just like came back to my roots and I came back to the things that I cared the most about. And I wanted to, I wanted my daily life to be about like, making products that I really wanted to take every day and that I wanted to share with my family and with other people and that I believed in. And just in a way, like, again, almost like that harmony of like my physical and my mental, and my emotional health all being unified, where it was like, I'm actually doing things in my daily vocation that I really care about. And they're things I want to put into my physical body and it all kind of makes sense together. So I guess that's a long answer, but that's I think that's how I got here today on this interview.
Well, thank you so much for sharing all of that. I mean, what an incredible journey. And I know it obviously sounds like there were incredible difficulties too, especially I was thinking about it when you were talking about the attack. You were so young. Not that that is easy at any age, you know, but having that kind of like major transformative life experience. And then also being able to kind of create the awareness that you talked about on the other side of that from such a young age is quite remarkable. And, but that's what happens, I guess, when you have a life-threatening kind of experience, at such a young age as well. And then talking about going back to your roots, it's interesting. It's something that like, I think at this stage of life, I'm just a couple of years behind you in age, but I also can relate to as far as like some of the things that you sometimes have to break out and go away from. And as you said, discover what is valuable to you. But sometimes it's also like a returning to the things that you may have been exposed to in those younger years too. So I just think it's a cool story. And thank you for your vulnerability in sharing that experience with us. I'm curious, my first question before we go into the actual understanding of Keon and all that you offer is, where does the name come from? What does it mean? And why did you choose that?
So the idea behind Keon is energy for life. And I know you're I don't actually know what the word is for someone who's interested in Japanese culture, but it's interesting. You've lived in Japan and you just got back from Tokyo. So the root of the word is ki, which is like chi or life force or energy in the Japanese language. And so it's a play on that idea of like ki on, and basically taking products that actually encourage your overall energy for life.
I love that. That's really cool. Yeah, it just struck me. I was like, what is that name? Where does that come from? So we talked a little bit, you touched about this idea that, your parents exposed you to taking aminos when you were younger and understanding protein, especially with restricted sort of animal consumption, that they chose to do. For any of our listeners who are just kind of like really new to this or starting to really understand it, I mean, protein is getting attention in a way that I think it's is due. But in a way in the wellness space now, and I want to just break it down a little bit. Why is it important? And then from that kind of breakdown, what the essential amino acids are and what purpose do they serve?
I think it's great that protein is getting the attention that it gets. And I think that this kind of conversation and offering people even just a little bit more insight into why and how it works is just a thing that can actually make more of a difference in people's lives too than just thinking, I need to eat more of this thing. So I love the question, and I think it's a great way to just kind of open it up for people. Where I would start is actually in a compare contrast to the other macronutrients. So people have probably heard the word micronutrients and macronutrients. Micronutrients are like all the little vitamins and minerals, et cetera, that are in foods. Macronutrients are the three primary macronutrients. Those are carbohydrates, fat, and protein. And one way of really clarifying protein is describing why it's so different from fat and carbohydrates. And oftentimes in the media and marketing, and maybe you talk to your nutritionist, like you ask a lot about, and people talk a lot about, whether fat's good or not, or should I eat low carb or not. Well, fundamentally, carbohydrates and fat play a very similar role in the body in terms of their primary role being about energy. And when I say energy, what I mean is like it's similar to, I like to use the metaphor of a house. So if we think about of our body as a house, we need to either get like electricity from a power plant or natural gas to help run the things in our house, to help run the stove, the dishwasher, the lights, et cetera. And carbohydrates and fat, like that's their primary role. When we consume them, we break them down through our digestion and we convert them into this thing called ATP. And that's what like literally helps beat our heart, move our muscles, function overall. The primary role of protein is very different. Protein can be used as that kind of as a source of energy, but its actual primary role is so fundamentally different from the other two macronutrients, and that is to replace the proteins in our body. So if you go back to the house analogy, it'd be more like if you need to replace the carpet, if you need to fix the door because it got broken, if you need to update the appliances, et cetera. And the way that our body functions is that it constantly needs to do that. So many people are familiar with the idea that over half of our body is water. Well, of the part that's not water, the part that's physical mass, over 50% of that is made up of proteins. That includes things like our vital organs, our skin, our hair, our nails, our eyes, our muscle, but even things that you don't normally associate with protein, things like enzymes, hormones, and even our neurotransmitters. So the chemical messengers in our brain are the metabolites of proteins. The proteins break down into them. So our whole body is basically made up of these proteins. So if you think about it, it's the stuff that actually like makes the house. Like, yeah, you need the carbohydrates and the fat to help run the house, but what do you actually build your house out of? What do you build your body out of? And the way that proteins function in our body is that they don't just last forever. Each little protein has a certain lifespan. And when a protein starts to get old, you can imagine like heart tissue or part of your skin, like it starts to get old and the protein needs to be replaced with a new, fresher protein. And so what happens is naturally the body breaks down that protein And when it breaks it down, like what happens to it? Well, the little protein is made up of, and imagine like your skin is made up of millions of proteins, but this one little protein is made up of 20 amino acids. And when it breaks apart into those little amino acids that go into the blood, and some of those amino acids are still, we'll call them young enough or good enough to be reused to help build a new protein, but some are not. Some are just like, you need to discard them. So you actually pee them out as urea. They get excreted. So now, all right, you've had this little bit of skin tissue or a little bit of heart tissue or muscle or whatever that's been broken apart. Some of the amino acids have been excreted through urea and your pee. Now you need to be able to rebuild that skin tissue, that heart tissue, that muscle. Well, how do you do that? We eat protein, whether that's from rice and beans or from chicken or from eggs or whatever it may be. You digest it in your digestive system. It breaks apart into the little tiny amino acids, these 20 amino acids. And this is the first time I'll introduce the essential. The essential, the nine essential ones are the most important ones. They're the ones your body can't synthesize on their own. They're also the ones that then communicate to the body to help rebuild that skin tissue, rebuild that heart tissue, rebuild that muscle. So the reason why you fundamentally need to eat protein is you need these essential amino acids that are inside the protein to help repair, rebuild all of these tissues throughout your whole body, be used as the source of enzymes and hormones and neurotransmitters, et cetera. If you don't consume protein and get these essential amino acids from them, you literally can't go on surviving because it's what makes up and builds the whole functioning of your body.
It's so clear. I really feel like everything you just shared is one of the clearest explanations I've heard. And, you know, I'm somebody who, first of all, I love your product. I've been taking it every day. I'm somebody, which leads me into what I'm going to share, which is I'm somebody who definitely does not get enough protein in my diet through food. Allie knows this. Allie's our protein girl. She gets her protein through food for sure. But I was vegetarian for a while. I just don't love meat for no other reason than it's just not something my palate really craves. And so I definitely do not get enough in my diet. And, you know, as a woman in my 30s now, I've noticed, and I recently went off, our listeners know this, I recently went off of hormonal birth control. And so my cycle is definitely impacted by my lack of protein, especially my luteal phase. So I have really difficult luteal phase, and there is an absolute correlation to my lack of protein or my lack of essential amino acids and my hormone issues. And so when I first discovered Keon, I was so excited because I was like, this is kind of the supplement I need in my daily life and my diet. And I'm curious, you know, just a question I have is because I feel like protein and amino acids, right? Like Ali mentioned, and you beautifully described, it's so important, and it's getting its kind of moment in the wellness space. And a lot of times though, it's still, it is connected with like muscle working out and recovery. And so I'm curious, right? I know these amino acids are really important, right? For our hormones, for muscle recovery. If we have any goals we're trying to attain, maybe like to build muscle. But what if our only exercise is just like walking, right? Or what if we're not doing like, or like maybe a light Pilates, or aminos are still important, right? Sorry if this is kind of a stupid question, but right, like I know a lot of young women I speak to or people I know, they're like, well, I don't eat a lot of protein, or I don't need it because I'm just doing Pilates, or I'm just doing my hot girl walks, right? So where, in terms of our need, I know if we're and strength training is so important. I know for women in general, that's a separate conversation, but I'm just talking about for, you know, our average listener, a woman who's listening to this, who's like, maybe I'm just going on hot girl walks, maybe I'm just doing Pilates. Is our need still, like, where are our needs? I guess that's my question too, especially for women in their, you know, late 20s, early 30s, mid 30s.
It's a great question. And I like the way you asked it and where you kind of landed with it. The short answer is adequate protein consumption is very important for your overall wellness and health, your body composition, which I assume is part of the reason why you might be doing hot girl walks or Pilates, and also other things like the quality of like your skin, your hair, your nails, all of these things. Eating an adequate amount of protein is going to support all of those. And the reason for that is because of the essential amino acids that are in the protein. That's what's going to support all these things and functioning well. So then the question kind of becomes, well, like, well, how much is adequate? You know, and I think that that's another big question too, where people have thought, well, like, yeah, maybe you had like a boyfriend or something in high school, who's eating like so much protein, he's going to the gym all the time and he's drinking these protein shakes. And it's like, well, I'm like not doing what he's doing. So why do I need to do that? I don't necessarily need to do that. So I think it's helpful maybe just to take a step back and think about how much protein is adequate and for what kind of goals and why and how these things might change over time. So the recommended daily allowance for protein, which actually is the minimum amount of protein that you want to eat in a day to not have significant health issues. So it's not like, hey, this is like an ideal amount in order to, you know, have the best body composition that I want. And I don't mean like look really strong, but just have like a lean, like a Pilates type. I mean, Pilates bodies are very admirable body types, right? The minimum to just not have like hair loss, to not have skin issues, to not have mood and fatigue and hormone issues is 0.4 grams of protein per pound of body weight. So the easiest thing, I'm not assuming most people don't weigh 100 pounds, but 100 pounds is like an easy way of us just doing the math. If you weighed 100 pounds, that'd be 40 grams of protein per day. Now, if you actually want to, if you have goals beyond not losing your hair, not having skin issues, not having mood issues, like you want to like thrive, then it's a much higher amount of protein. And those are somewhere between, you know, 0.7, 0.8 grams and like 1.2 grams of protein per pound of body weight. And so the general thing that you'll hear over and over again on the internet is a gram of protein per pound of body weight. And it's not because like that's the perfect, it's like, it just makes it easy for people. It's a generally good guide. And the reason would be like, okay, well, that's almost like double the amount of the 0.4 grams. It's like, why would you need that? What would the reason be for that? And now I'll share some more explanations about what that would be. And just to clarify, so that'd be like 100 grams of protein if you weigh 100 pounds, 150 grams of protein if you weigh 150 pounds, which I would say is more protein than most women in their 20s and 30s are eating. So the reason why you'd want to eat more protein like that is because most people, again, have these certain types of goals. If I am, if I'm just like totally stagnant all day and don't move, my body burns a certain amount of calories. And even at just like burning those calories, I naturally, to be able to just sustain the amount of muscle on my body that I have right now to maintain, and I'm not talking about like a lot of muscle, just like whatever, the muscles in between on your arms and your legs, just everywhere where it is, to sustain that and to sustain the function of all your hormones, you need to eat this certain amount of protein. As soon as you exercise, not only do you increase the amount of calories burned, right? Like you're suddenly, like you're burning calories, which is how you lose weight typically, right? It's because you burn calories and you don't eat more. So you're burning more than you bring in. You're also provoking your muscles, whether it's Pilates or it's a walk, you're provoking your muscles to be broken down and to be rebuilt. But the thing is, as we described earlier, if I go to an hour-long Pilates class, which honestly I would classify as strength training. I think Pilates is a form of, it's an excellent form of strength training, actually. I'm basically telling my muscles at all these times throughout that hour to break itself down and to rebuild itself. So it's breaking down the proteins. Some of the amino acids are not going to be reused. They're going to be peed out, and I have to replace those amino acids. And so if I want the muscle that I'm working so hard in this Pilates class or this walking that I'm doing to be rebuilt and to be as functional as possible and promote the best, healthiest, most lean muscle, I need to supply it with additional protein. So anytime you're exercising, you're increasing the amount of protein that you want to consume, whether that's walking, whether that's a Pilates class, whether that's strength training, whether that's going for a run. It doesn't really matter. It's just the most common, like in strength training circles, because they're so familiar with the fact that like they're going in and lifting weights and trying to do this thing. And like, you can only get the benefits if you consume the protein. So just have it in mind that it's like, you have to have the protein to even support Pilates, walking, any of these things.
This episode is sponsored by AquaTrue. We are always looking for ways to make drinking water easier since it's important to stay hydrated and healthy. In fact, 60% of our bodies are made of water. But according to extensive research by the Environmental Working Group, virtually every home in America has harmful contaminants in its tap water. That's why we are so happy to have discovered AquaTrue. AquaTrue purifiers use a 4-stage reverse osmosis purification process, and their countertop purifiers work with no installation or plumbing. It removes 15 times more contaminants than ordinary pitcher filters and are specifically designed to combat chemicals like PFAS in your water supply, which are found in almost 45% of U.S. tap water. And I'm grateful that AquaTrue is certified to remove those contaminants. They have water purifiers to fit every type of home, from installation-free countertop purifiers to high-capacity under-sink options. They even have a Wi-Fi-connected purifier and mineral boost options.
The filters are also affordable and long-lasting. No changing filters every 2 to 3 months, because AquaTrue filters last from 6 months to 2 years. In addition to drinking water, you can use it for your coffee, tea, and all your cooking needs, from boiling pasta or veggies to making stocks and soups. I can truly taste the difference compared with my old water filter, and I was originally introduced to AquaTrue after seeing it in my friend's kitchen, and now even my puppy Layla is drinking AquaTrue water, because our animal's health is just as important as our own. AquaTrue was delivered straight to my door, and it was really easy to set up. I was always hesitant about drinking tap water, but I don't have to worry about that anymore, because I know my tap water is not just filtered with AquaTrue, it's purified. So if you would like to try it for yourself, AquaTrue comes with a 30-day money-back guarantee and even makes a great gift. Today, our listeners can receive 20% off any AquaTrue purifier. Just go to AquaTrue.com. That's AquaTrue.com, and enter code CWPOD at checkout. That's 20% off any AquaTrue water purifier when you go to AquaTrue.com and use promo code CWPOD, CWPOD at checkout.
Also, as we age, our ability, and when I say age, it basically starts at age 30, our ability to digest protein and our ability and our, like, basically the sensitivity of the amino acids to promote new protein synthesis, and this could be new skin, new hair, new muscle, it becomes reduced. And that's why naturally, as you look at, you know, someone who's 20 versus someone who's 60, right, the person who's 60 has a lot less muscle, typically has droopier skin, the quality of their hair is not as good, et cetera. It's because your body, as you get older, just simply doesn't maintain the proteins as well. So by supplementing with additional protein, or even more ideally with additional essential amino acids, you support the vitality of all these things, whether it's your skin or your muscle, et cetera. So kind of like both for the exercise benefits and getting the most out of the exercise, but then also like as you're aging, you need to be upping the amount of essential amino acids or protein, because you're not utilizing them as well as you used to. And then the third thing that I think, I don't want to say this is it shouldn't be a constant, but it's just something to keep in mind, is that when you consume protein or essential amino acids, there's something called diet-induced thermogenesis. It promotes a higher metabolism, because you think about it, it's actually communicating the body to help build new proteins, build new muscle, and that consumes energy. Also, when you have more lean muscle, overall, you maintain a higher metabolism. So if you're someone who's wanting to maintain a leaner physique, and or you're in, hopefully I would just say like a short-term period of maybe trying to lose weight, you're not like in some kind of constant thing of that, then it can be very helpful to increase your protein intake during that period, or increase your essential amino acid intake. So I think those are all really good reasons to consider why it doesn't just have to be because I'm trying to be a hardcore athlete or go to the gym, et cetera, but it really will provide benefit overall and in general for people.
It makes a lot of sense. Thank you for sharing that. I have a couple questions that just came out of what you just said. And even though, yes, we have most of our audience is like, you know, younger-ish women, I would say late 20s to mid 30s, we do have listeners of all different ages. And so one thing that jogged my mind is when you were talking about aging and having a harder time like breaking down dietary protein too. So if someone is in their 60s, in their 70s, because we do have listeners at this age point. And I know even with my own parents, I'm always on like the protein train with them and they might not desire it as much as Erica was talking about. Like she doesn't really have that palate for it where I'll eat it every meal. But I try to get it. I try to talk to my parents about this too, as you know, they're in approaching their 70s. And I'm wondering is supplementing with it in the amino acid form because it's more broken down, is that something that is recommended and easier also for people maybe in later decades that want to try to consume more protein?
It's a great question. The simple answer is yes. It's significantly greater impact from consuming free-form essential amino acids. But I'll actually describe it in more detail because I think this is a great, it's a very helpful question to explain more how different types of protein compare to each other and how essential amino acids compare to each other. So you consume protein, and this could be when you're older or you're younger, but we'll get to the quality of the protein or the essential amino acid source by a few things. One is, how digestible is it? So it's not all the same. Like, and so actually animal-based proteins tend to be more digestible. Now, if you simply don't like them and it's not like part of your palate, like I think like Erica was describing, like this doesn't mean you need to eat animal proteins, or maybe it's not even worth it because it's too, you know, it just doesn't fit into your palate or your lifestyle, et cetera. But how digestible it is really matters. So actually plant proteins typically are harder for your body to get the proteins and the amino acids out of. Animal proteins are a little bit easier. When you take something like a supplement, and one step beyond a whole food protein would just be like a protein powder. For example, a whey protein isolate is significantly more digestible than the even an animal protein. You go a step beyond that, an essential amino acid is, you don't even really digest it. You just consume it and it immediately is available to the blood. So that's like a major plus in terms of why essential amino acids would be more effective than even a protein powder versus an animal protein versus a plant protein. But then there's another thing. Another thing is how much of that protein is actually essential amino acids. And again, unfortunately, and again, this is not to say anything bad about plant proteins. It's just to educate about it. And I think you can 100% be vegan and get enough protein. You just have to be more thoughtful about it. A lesser percentage of the total protein is essential amino acids, could be as low as 20%, whereas you get to like eggs and meats, it could be 40 to 50% essential amino acids. Well, in an essential amino acid supplement, and even in a whey protein powder, it's like 45%. You get to an essential amino acid supplement, it's 100% essential amino acids. It's 100% the active component of the protein that you're actually trying to get. So again, it's a major plus for the supplement in that way. And then the third thing becomes, well, the composition of those essential amino acids. And there are better and worse combinations that our body prefer to have. And so by actually matching the amount of essential amino acids and their proportions that are in our muscle, and then increasing the amount of valine, isoleucine, leucine, and lysine, got nerdy for a second, but just they're out there, to these certain compositions, which we've studied, not key on, but like researchers have studied for the last 20, 30 years for NASA, NIH, like these are widely published studies. You can have a much more ideal proportion of them that your body better utilizes. Because basically, if you have too much of one, too much of the non-essential amino acids, not the right combination of others, your body actually doesn't utilize them. It converts them into sugars and urea and pees them out. So you don't utilize them as well. So again, it's a major plus for a supplement. So before I give these numbers, just want to name, like, I would encourage everyone to eat multiple whole food meals every day and to consume good quality whole food protein, whether that's combining different types of beans and rice, or that's eating vegetarian things like eggs and cheese or meats, et cetera, like trying to find that throughout your diet, it's ideal. But then if you want to supplement, the difference between an essential amino acid supplement that has all nine aminos and in these more ideal formulas and a protein powder, it's about three times the impact for a young adult versus a protein powder. When you go to a whole food meat in isolation, like if I just eat the protein, so I'm only digesting like beef, it's like six times. If you eat beef as part of like a mixed meal, it becomes up to like 24, 25 times the impact. So then when you extrapolate that and you compare that for an older audience, so for example, there's been lots of studies specifically for essential amino acids with elderly populations, women in their 60s. The essential amino acids are over six times the impact of a protein powder. So it's like double. Everything is basically, all those figures I just gave you are double. So what I would say is starting at age 30, the benefits of supplementing first with a protein powder, that's already good. But if you can supplement with an essential amino acid supplement, it becomes so much more valuable every single decade. Every single year, really, the benefits become that much more valuable. So what I would say is like for, you know, the core audience of 20, 30 year old women, it's going to provide a lot of value if you want to maintain a leaner figure, have healthier skin, hair, nails, you know, overall have kind of better mood and energy levels, help compensate for maybe you're not eating perfectly the right amount of protein all the time, right? Yeah. Whereas if you are over 50 years old or you have parents in their 60s and 70s, I would be like encouraging, like I encourage my parents, like daily staple must be. It's not like it's the thing that's literally going to help you maintain lean muscle, maintain a healthier metabolism, avoid getting injured in the event that you get sick, which we all ultimately do at some stage of later life, like help recover from that. Like it's a, like a life insurance policy or a savings account, a life savings account as you get older. Whereas it is that for us when we're younger, but it's probably more, you know, there's more vanity and super optimized living kind of aspects of it, which again, I mean, I obviously want, and I assume podcast listeners like you want, but like for your parents, like it's really valuable.
No, there's nothing wrong with having goals or, you know, aesthetic goals, I should say. But I think the older I get, the more longevity is something that's really as more important to me, honestly, than anything else. Because I think especially if you have dealt with, and I've dealt with family members who have gone through chronic health issues, medical issues, you really realize your health is literal wealth. It's the most important thing that any of us have. And as I mentioned earlier, I'm taking your supplement every single day. And now I'm literally, just from what you said, I'm going to get my parents on it. I'm sure Allie's like calling her mom immediately. Like we're in for the parents for sure. I have two questions. One is kind of, selfish, because I want to make sure I'm taking the supplement correctly. So the first is there a best time to take, like when is the best time to take, Keon? Is it before a workout, or if we're just going for a walk, is it before the walk? Can it be any time during the day? And then also, I'm excited to see, as I'm on this journey, how my luteal phase and my hormones are impacted. And so I'd love you to touch on to the importance of these essential amino acids with our hormone health too, as women. So sorry, two questions.
Okay.
So two selfish questions.
No, they're great questions. So the first question is, I think it's similar to exercise. Adherence is more important than exactly when you take it. So what I would say is the most important thing, you'll get the most benefits if you start taking it every day. If you miss a day, it's fine. It's not something like where something bad happens if you don't take it. But every single time you take it, you are going to stimulate and promote a greater amount of new protein synthesis, which is going to improve all these different functions of the body that we have talked about. And there are many different times of day when you could take it, when it could create benefit. So I'll just give you some ideas. But what I would say is find a habit, find like something to anchor it to where you start taking it consistently. And that's, you're going to get the most benefit when you like are consistent with the positive behavior. So if you're someone who you know, has rather long periods in between meals. And that could be like you eat dinner and then you don't really like to eat breakfast first thing in the morning, or you have breakfast in the morning and then you like wait, you know, 6 hours, you don't really have a snack, you wait several hours until you eat again. I would just say, take it during that empty period when you're not eating, because what people don't realize is every time you go a few hours without consuming essential amino acids, you actually go into net muscle protein breakdown. So people don't realize that the muscles in our body are not only the primary source of how we move, right? It's where our strength and activity comes from. They're also the reservoir of amino acids for the rest of our body. So if I don't eat for a few hours and don't eat protein for a few hours, even if I eat, you know, some fruit or something, but there's no amino acids or protein in it, but there's tissue in my body where the proteins are starting to break down, which is going to happen after a few hours of not eating protein. It's going to happen all the time, but basically when say heart tissue starts to break down, it's going to pull amino acids out of my blood and help rebuild that heart tissue. If I have not eaten amino acids in a certain amount of time, I don't have enough in my blood. I don't keep the constant level. So my body prioritizes breaking down muscle tissue. It's the one type of protein in the body that it will prioritize to break down to then supply amino acids to the rest of the body. So I would attempt to have some kind of protein or amino acids every few hours throughout the day. It's good to have a break too, like have dinner, don't eat all night long, you know, wake up in the morning, then have something. But throughout the day, it's a helpful thing to do. That said, and it's a great way to like replace having another cup of coffee or having some kind of little sweet snack that's actually not nutritive or that good for you. That said, if you like to drink it with meals, and you can take it as capsules, you can take it as a flavored fruit powder, you can take it with meals and it will actually improve the amount of protein synthesis that you get from the protein in the meal. So it's almost like a little mini resistance training session. Because it actually promotes the use of the protein.
I'm laughing not to interrupt you, but I love thinking of dinner as a mini resistance training session. Like, oh, that sounds great. We also are very food positive when we love to eat around here. So it just made me laugh.
Yeah. But for real, and honestly, Ali, that was one of the things where I was kind of most shocked by it as, I mean, I'm a constant learner and constantly reading all the research. And it's really just in the last few years where we've really discovered, we always knew that the essential amino acids were like the most important part of the protein. And they're the thing that stimulate the protein synthesis. But we've uncovered more, the research community in the last few years has uncovered that taking them as a free form supplement stimulates protein synthesis in this way that whole food does not. So actually by taking them with your whole food, it's the way that like, it's why you exercise, like when you exercise, I mean, there's good reasons for heart health, et cetera, but you actually are promoting new protein synthesis in your body. It does something of a similar sort. And so it's a really cool, remarkable use case. And then, yeah, before exercise, it's going to get you more out of the exercise. It literally will promote better protein synthesis. It'll reduce your fatigue. It'll improve recovery times. So like if you, you know, I know, I have a friend of mine who takes it every single day before she goes on her walk. You know, like if that's a good if that's your habit, like just habits stack the good things. You know, if it's like, if it's a way for you to start your morning well, do that. If it's something you combine with your lunch or your dinner, do that. If it's something you take before you go on a walk or replace a coffee, like just find the place a day where it creates the most benefit for you.
And then just my second part of that question about our hormone health is women. If you can talk a little bit about that, because I know that's so important to me. I know that's something that we've done so many episodes on hormone health recently, and I think this is a very important component.
So to just go to the heart of it, as I described earlier, hormones are these proteins or metabolites of proteins of amino acids. And so if you don't supply yourself with enough of the core ingredients materials to maintain a healthy hormonal balance, then you can understand and see why you may not, why you have this kind of unnecessary hormonal imbalance. The question of exactly how much protein, how many amino acids, essential amino acids you should consume on a daily basis in which, during which phase of the month is not something that has been like very clearly concluded, like, oh, during this phase, you should consume this much more, et cetera. There's actually been some interesting studies more recently, particularly around women's protein intake and which phase they're in and how it impacts muscle protein synthesis, maintenance of muscle. And specifically for maintenance of muscle, they couldn't actually determine a clear relationship. That said, I think that there simply has not been enough study around it to determine, like, hey, during your luteal phase, you absolutely must consume this much more protein or this many more amino acids, et cetera. What I would say is general guidance is that if you aim towards consuming towards the higher levels of like that gram of protein per pound of body weight, it does, for the majority of women, it tends to overall reduce the amount of types of unnecessary hormonal imbalance that happens during those periods. That said, I think like trying to, I don't want to promise, like, it's not gonna like remove, like you go through your phases, right? It's not gonna like remove these natural hormonal changes that happen every single month. But if you are kind of creating this undue stress on your body by not giving it the core
No,
protein and amino acids that it needs, then
it makes
it's not
sense.
surprising, right? Yeah.
Yeah, because I mean, I'm somebody who I've noticed, like I said, eating my protein is like, it's not something it's not something that's easy for me. But I've noticed when I make a conscious effort eating more protein, my hormone cycle is better. Period.
And
And so
that's
that's
also
why.
because we know that protein helps create more long, like less of a blood sugar roller coaster
Exactly.
throughout the day and elongated energy. And so when we're not kind of on that sort of glucose roller coaster in the same way, we know overall our hormones are going to be more balanced and like PMS symptoms are going to reduce and that type of thing. So I think
Yeah.
there's so many components to it too.
And supplementing is easier for me than eating protein. But to be honest, like I am that, I'm telling you, Allie does wellness the right way. But for me, I am that second cup of coffee girl. Like I will go to that second cup of coffee. And so to have, to take essential amino acids instead of that second cup of coffee, that's something that I can do, right? Like I might not always be able to eat more protein or I might not want a protein shake every day, but I can do a berry or mango flavored supplement, instead of that second cup of coffee. So yeah, it's just this makes so much sense to me. And I'm so excited to have this product. So sorry, Allie, I'll give it back
Yeah,
to you.
no, that's fine. No, it's a good point. And actually, I have a quick question before we start to wrap up. I feel like we could pick your brain for another hour, but we're not going to do that to you. I have a quick question about how you create the amino acid supplement. And as for any of our listeners who haven't tried it yet, as Erica said, it comes in like powder that you can take as a beverage. It's like really tasty. I like the berry one a lot. But how do you guys create it so that it's vegan too? Because I think that's interesting, especially for any of our listeners who are vegan, who are plant forward, plant-based, whatever vegetarian maybe. It's a way to also supplement when it's harder to get, it's harder to get like the bioavailable protein in the same way if you don't have animal product in your diet. So I'm just curious about that.
It's cool. It actually goes back to the Japanese roots again. So, in Japanese culture, through basically the observations around fermenting of soy sauce and miso, et cetera, it was uncovered that you could actually ferment amino acids from natural plant sugar sources. So things like beets, et cetera. And so actually the sugars are fermented and the amino acids are produced through that process. Yeah. So it's
Fascinating.
100% plant-based.
So interesting. So yeah, so anybody who is plant-based, like I feel like this is also like a really wonderful option to add in as a supplement. Because that's something that I think can be challenging, as you said. You have a little bit more work to do if you're gonna live fully plant-based, which is totally possible. I'm with you on that. It's just it requires a little bit more work, and something like this supplement can definitely make it a little bit easier in your day-to-day. So I'm
And that's how it was part of my childhood. I think
yeah.
both because we're vegetarians and we didn't, we weren't eating this wide array of animal-based products, but also because my mom was a master swimmer and we liked exercising, et cetera. So it was that kind of combination of trying to live the certain more plant-focused lifestyle, but also exercise a lot. And that is that much more reason. So yeah, I think it's a great, It's a really awesome, unique supplement specifically for vegans and more plant-based eaters.
Absolutely. And thank you so much for all of your knowledge today. I know that I've learned a lot. I think our audience has definitely learned a lot. I'm excited to share this episode with specifically like a handful of people that I really want to hear it. And as we begin to wrap up, we ask three wrap-up questions for all of our guests. And I'm curious, the first one, what at this season of your life, what does your daily self-care look like? And do you have any non-negotiables in your day?
Well, I think my daily self-care looks like going to sleep early. I'm lucky to have two elementary school aged kids, and what's best for them is to go to sleep early. And so I go to sleep when they go to sleep. So I'm asleep normally around 9 PM and that helps me to wake up, you know, pretty naturally around 5 AM, which was not the way that I was when I was younger. I would be way more inclined to like stay up late, et cetera. And with that, you know, it's really about in the morning, it's about, drinking water, digging my aminos. You know, I do have like coffee first thing in the morning, having that time alone. And then really it's like being with my wife and my kids in the morning and being like really present and having quality time and not feeling like super rushed or distracted by a bunch of different stuff. And so every single morning we meditate, pray as a family. And then I do like 10 to 15 minutes with each one of my kids on some skill they want to get better at. So right now with my daughter, we're doing singing, and with my son, we do basketball. And so like those, if I start my day with that, my day is pretty awesome.
Yeah, it sounds magical. It sounds so magical. The next question we always ask our guests is, what does being courageous mean to you?
You know, I think as I've gotten older, being courageous, it looks a lot more like being quiet and patient. I definitely am someone who is more just act, do things, take control, say something, and just having the courage to kind of wait and see what happens, be quiet, listen to what other people say.
Yeah, that's cool. Listening. I've never thought of it that way, but that's, I think, a wonderful act of courage. Okay. So then the final question is, do you have a book recommendation for our audience? It can be literally on any topic. It can be a novel, just something that's meant something to you personally.
What's most relevant today? You know, what's coming up is this book called Be Free Where You Are by Thich Nhat Hanh. It's actually like, I think like these, like a talk he gave at a prison.
Wow.
And it's a really cool book about, and I guess, you know, this talk by him about like how to be happy in life.
I love that. Well, thank you so much for being with us, for all the information. We want to let our audience know again that if you want to try Keon and start supplementing with amino acids, which I'm sure we all do after today's conversation, you can go to www.getkeon.com/CWpod and you can get 20% off. Thank you guys for setting that up for us. And we're so excited to share this conversation with everybody.
Well, thanks, Allie, and thanks, Erica. It's been awesome being here.
Thanks for tuning in to another episode of Courageous Wellness. Tune in every Wednesday for a new episode featuring a different guest each week. Subscribe, rate, and write us a nice review. And you can also follow us on Instagram at Courageous Wellness or get in touch via our website, www.courageouswellness.net, where you can also find additional info about our health coaching services, virtual group events, newsletter, and more. Until next week, I'm Allie.
And I'm Erica, and we're Courageous Wellness.